Of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Do please take a seat. So this week we're remembering the fact that as a church we were given a recognition and award last year as being a church of sanctuary, and Derby City has a group of people that are working on trying to ensure that Derby City is a city of sanctuary, and of course as a country there's a debate going on about how we deal with immigration and migrants, but I would hope that we as a country want to continue to be able to be a country of sanctuary to those that are fleeing from natural disaster or persecution or whatever around the world. So we're going to be thinking about that today, and this is part of our preparations for our Commitment Sunday and Gift Day, which is on the 20th of this month in a couple of weeks' time, and part of what we're going to be raising money for at Gift Day is to contribute towards our work with refugees and asylum seekers through this parish. So that's kind of what we're about this morning. So the way that we're going to tackle it this morning is we're going to have three interviews, one that will focus on some of the work we've been doing as a church of sanctuary and sharing some personal testimony, and Beth's going to interview Fardy for that purpose, and then we're going to, hopefully if Elliot arrives, he's on his way but he's late, be thinking about City of Sanctuary and what's going on there, and then finally Joe and Simon are going to help us to think about Country of Sanctuary. So Beth, would you like to come and Fardy, and I shall hand over to you.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Well, hopefully most of you know Fadi and his family, but maybe can you just introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from? And...
Yeah. My name is Fadi Tito. I'm an asylum seeker from Iraq. We have been living here in the UK for 6 years now, just waiting for our case to be in progress.
Well, some of you are officially refugees. So that's good. So why did you start coming to St. Augustine's?
Actually, when first time when we came to Derby, actually we are Catholic in faith since we were born in Iraq. So when we came to Derby, and first time we've been accommodated in somewhere here, Stanton Street, just near to the St. Augustine's Church. And because my mom, she's about her age and old, she couldn't go to any church further, and just we were we didn't care which church that would be. Maybe it's not about Catholic church can go. I think we found St. Augustine's is the nearest one to the house that we lived in. So first time when we came here, I think we had a big welcome from the church, and they are really were very, very generous with us when they are we've been respectable by the church, actually.
Great. And how has being part of the church here helped you feel welcome or helped you in other ways since you've been here?
I think as a Christian family came from Iraq, I think the church did a lot to us as a family and as an asylum seeker as well. I can't say maybe we are adopted by the church. They are never let us need for anything. Even in we had a lot of problems with the maybe or some issues with the home office, and actually the church helped us a lot to manage that. And even they are when the home office asked us to leave the house because our case been exhausted and refused. So we at the time, I think that was in 2016, we couldn't find any place to go to live in because it was a very, very horrible situation to us as a family of 4 people and the old mom. So St. Augustine's actually, she was as usual, as we know, that she offered us accommodation in Waiwam, and actually it was a big mission. Actually, it's not easy. That's because that we know Waiwam is only maybe for youth people, for young people. So that's when, they found an apartment for us, small apartment. Is that a good job? Actually, it's very, we appreciate that really, and we lived there for 9 months. Then another time the church helped us to live in their house that belonged to the church, St. Thomas Church, that's in Cambridge Street. So, and yeah, it's very, very, really weak. We don't know how to say that. I think it's a church we know. Church is a church that help people, help asylum seekers. I think they won't refuse anybody. Maybe they can, if they can, to help any people that maybe like in our situation, if they were asylum seekers or refugee or any people who are in bad time or bad situation.
Thank you. So do you think there's anything else that us as a church could do to help other asylum seekers and refugees in Derby?
I think the church now is doing their best to help people as asylum seekers. I think they are giving donation to charities to help people, and food banks and different things. I think I'm sure now if any asylum seekers in Derby, maybe if comes to the church and ask them to help them, they will. I think the church has their mission, maybe, or there. That's because this church is a church that belongs to Jesus, as they are belong to God. I think God won't leave His people. So I think that's because the God put churches as to do His mission while on ground. So that's, I think is not hard to church to help any asylum seekers if they come to her door and ask for any help.
Thank you very much. So what I've heard from you is that St. Augustine's, first of all, we're in a great place because we're close to where a lot of asylum seekers live. And it's good to be welcoming when people come in our door. And we can help in very practical ways people who have troubles with money and troubles with the Home Office. And perhaps we're doing the right thing in welcoming, but we could do more, so maybe we need to be prepared for that. And that's why I guess for Gift Day we've gathered some resources so that we can help more people. Thank you.
Brilliant, thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Fardy. Thank you, Beth. Now, Elliot Cooper isn't here yet, so I think we'll change the order, and perhaps if Simon and Joe would like to come and join us at the front.
Okay, so this is Jo, and many of you know Jo already, and many of you know her as the Deanery Administrator, very efficient administrator. She also sort of comes and helps us out down at St. Thomas Community. She's a member of the St. Thomas Community. But Jo, why are you particularly interested in the issue of refugees and asylum seekers?
Well, I've forgotten what I was supposed to say, but you know, maybe... He's got an odd order here of my answers, but I'm you know, me, I go off-piste. I went to work in Jerusalem for 10 years, and I encountered, of course, Palestinian refugees. And since then, I've continued my interest with the Middle East and with and visited camps, refugees, displaced people in Lebanon and Syria and Jordan. And I'm very aware of the political choices that governments make and how they impact on the movement of people. And the barriers which are put up and the borders that are put in place. And you may not know, some of you, that my husband is from the Gaza Strip. And our family is separated. We are not able to go into Gaza to visit his family. I have not seen that side of my son's family since about 2002. And that I myself was the victim of a border closure, and that when my son was 6 months old and had a cold and stayed with his grandmother in the camp in Rafah, the border was closed. I went back to Jerusalem to work, and I was not able to go back and get him for 3 months. And I was only able to go back and get him because the Guardian newspaper published a story about the case. And hey presto, the next day I was allowed to collect him. So I learned from that that the power of the media and the power of popular pressure is very important, and that governments, some more than others, do care very much about their worldwide image.
Thank you, Jo, for a very personal encounter you have with refugee camps and with your own family. So thank you for sharing that with us. Appreciate that. Jo, you came to Derby. And I think one of the first things we saw you doing was coming to meet me at a migrant summit that I was organising in the cathedral. And that's one of the first things we did together. Can you tell us how that impacted you?
Yes, I was searching for somewhere to live, so I was working my way up the train lines from London. And I came to Derby, and one of the first things that I went to was this day in the cathedral. I was astonished and delighted to find that I had ended up in a place which was so open and welcoming to refugees and has such a long history of giving refuge to displaced people, right the way back, you know, First World War and so on.
So you've got involved in some of the stuff here in Derby, on a bit more of the political scene. You've been doing a bit of work. Can you put a photo up for us, Terry? Can you tell us about this occasion?
Oh, this was a vigil, and here we are on the steps of the council house in Derby. Multi-faith, as you can see. There's somebody from the cathedral there, people from various mosques. This was about Palestinian refugees, but that's just incidental. There's quite a lot of awareness of the different needs of different groups in Derby. And it's good to go along and walk with others and be seen and wave a banner, even if you don't say anything very much.
So a bit of politicking going on there. And you just did it in Derby, or have you done it somewhere else as well? Let's see a second photo. Where are you here now?
This is a committee room in the House of Commons. So City of Sanctuary organises a Sanctuary and Parliament event each year. So last year I went down and the theme was dignity, not destitution. So we were campaigning to have changes in the law which would allow asylum seekers and refugees to work. It's a very complicated situation about who is allowed to work and so on. But we think that when people have been in the country for about 6 months and, you know, shown that they are genuinely in need of asylum, they should be allowed to use their skills, because otherwise they lose them. So we have, you know, doctors and all sorts of highly skilled people. We've also got people with engineering and a lot of useful practical skills, but they are losing those skills if they're not allowed to work. And also they don't have the dignity of bringing in any kind of income.
So you went down last year, and there's another one this year. Are you going to go down this year?
Unfortunately, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to go down this time. But this time we are campaigning for the right for families to be reunited. I don't know exactly how many, but there are the most appalling number of unaccompanied children who arrive as asylum seekers and refugees in Britain. And it's very difficult for them to be reunited with their parents and with the wider family. And there are rights, certain number of rights, which allow the immediate family, so children, parents, to be together. But often there are grandparents or uncles and aunts and so on who also need to be protected and within that bubble. And I'm sure that everybody here can imagine what it must be like to end up in another country that maybe you've struggled for weeks to get to, walking across Europe or wherever, and you arrive and you don't speak the language and you know nobody and you're alone and you're anxious about your family and wondering what's happened to them and maybe fearing or maybe knowing that terrible things have happened.
It's an observation that I believe that there are only two countries in the European Union that currently ban child refugees who to bring their relatives with them, even their parents. And one of those countries is the UK. So if they arrive in the UK as a child, you're not allowed to bring your mum and dad with you, because it's banned. So this country, its attitude towards refugees and asylum seekers, we know it's difficult and problematic. And so one of the things that we're talking about in this particular session is asking you to get involved in political action. And Jo, can you give us a particular thing what we can do practically?
Yes, I mean, we're all different and we have different things that we can do. Not everybody wants to engage in a debate. But you can be aware, you can find out more. I've put some links on this piece of paper of people like the Red Cross, which will give you more information. But also, one of the most effective things that you can do is to write to your elected representatives. So you might not want to go and march to the Derby City Council, or you might not have the freedom to go down to London to the Parliament event. But there's a small letter at the bottom of the back of this leaflet, which is to the Home Secretary, which says you have the power to reunite families torn apart by war and persecution. With the strike of a pen, you can change the restrictive rules that keep refugees in the UK apart from those they love. And I call on you to allow child refugees in the UK the right to sponsor their close family so that they can rebuild their lives together and help them integrate in their new community. Expand who qualifies as family so that young people who have turned 18 and elderly parents can join their family in the UK, and reintroduce legal aid for refugee family reunion cases so people who have lost everything have the support they need to afford and navigate the complicated process of being reunited with their families.
Thank you so much, Jo. And you've got these sheets here, which we will give out at the back as you're leaving. And there's a website link there, which I think we'll leave it on there too, that you can actually do that directly to the Home Secretary. So that's some political action we can do. Thank you for that, Jo. I'm going to hand over to Andy, and he's going to chat to Elliot about what we can do locally.
Thank you. So, Elliot, welcome. Please do come and join me at the front. Nice to see you. So we've thought about Churchill Sanctuary and our work with refugees and asylum seekers. So we've talked about Country of Sanctuary and the political influence that we can exert. And now I introduce Elliot Cooper to you. We get two for the price of one here, because Elliot works for the City of Sanctuary in Derby, but is also involved with Upbeat Communities and has been involved with Upbeat Communities. So we invite him along to hear a bit about his work. So first of all, Elliot, would you like to talk us a little bit about City of Sanctuary?
Great, yes. Thank you very much. So, in my City of Sanctuary role, what we do in the city is just encourage various organisations, various people to welcome refugees and asylum seekers into the city. So recently that's been, that's meant going to different organisations and giving them training and helping to raise their awareness. So for example, schools who maybe they have no experience, going in with a team of refugees and asylum seekers, giving some training, and it's been great to hear how some of the children there and some of the families there have completely turned around. You know, in the past they might have been, what are these people doing here, to, we really want to help, what can we do, how can we get involved? So doing that with schools, working with a theatre, working with our next training, in fact, is with Just Ice, so an ice cream shop of Sanctuary. But places like, it seems kind of crazy, an ice cream shop of Sanctuary, what can that do, what difference can that make? Well, these places can have volunteers who are asylum seekers, and so it makes a huge difference, as we already heard, that people can go out. They can't go to work, but they can go somewhere. They can practice their English. They can put in practice their skills, and people can be welcomed. People can have discount or free things and just feel valued in the community. So that's really what we do in City Sanctuary.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And would you like to tell us about Upbeat and the work of Upbeat?
Great. Okay. So Upbeat recently had their big fundraising banquet on Friday, but generally what Upbeat do is they do English, provide English lessons. Now many of the people who come to English lessons don't really need English, but they need friends. And I always say to the people who come to English, you know, don't worry if you're a beginner or even if you're a professor, it doesn't matter. Come along and we'll be together. We'll have fun. We can help someone learn a bit of English. We'll have a cup of tea, normally lots of cake. I used to be half this size. And it's good just to encourage people to get out, because it's so difficult if you're stuck in your own room and you've got nowhere to go. So English lessons, then we do training. Some training about culture. We do some training about putting CVs together and job interviews. So as we've already heard from Joan, many people they're not in a position to work at the moment, but thinking ahead, when they are in that position, they're ready to go. Trips, we do lots of trips. It was great last week. We went to Carsington and I asked one of the guys with us, I said, oh look, have you been on one of those boats, looking at the sailing club? He said, Elliot, I come from the desert. I've never seen a lake before. So I just love it. It's great. So we do all that sort of stuff. As well as that, Upbeat have a hosting scheme, so people who've got some spare room in their house can say, you know, come and stay with us. I've got some leaflets about that. Lots and lots of different things, creative sessions, lots of things for people just to come along to and to feel less lonely, to feel more welcomed in the city.
Marvellous, thank you. Oh, you can keep that second. Okay. So, thank you. So, just to conclude then, are there ways that we can be involved? What kind of things might we be able to do to support?
Great. So, thank you for what you're already doing, which is great. So, for Upbeat, what we can do is we can signpost people there, and we could also get involved if anyone's got some time. You could volunteer there, which is great. There's normally things going on not very far away from here in Whittaker Road, in the Y1 building, Overdale House. Come along. We can all do something. What can I do? You can say hello. You can make a cup of tea. You can have a cup of tea with someone. That is just so crucial. Really, that is so crucial. So, Upbeat, you can volunteer. You make maybe you've got space in your house. You can volunteer space in your house. So there are some leaflets I'll leave. But also with City of Sanctuary, what we'd really like to do is we'd like to put some pressure on the council. And we wouldn't like the council to do a few things like we'd like them to have a special section on their website. We would like them themselves to be a little bit more welcoming. We would like them to want Derby to be a very welcoming place. And there's a few things we particularly want. So what I'd like you to do, we're going to have a campaign soon, not a letter writing campaign or a petition, but we want people to sign a pledge. Now that pledge hasn't gone up on our Facebook page yet, but if you like us on Derby City of Sanctuary Facebook page, you'll see things that are coming up soon, and then you'll keep in touch and you'll see this pledge. And if you can sign the pledge individually and as a church, that will help to put more pressure on the council to make this place more welcoming for many of our international friends.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Elliot. Are you able to stick around to the end? So you're able to chat to people. Marvellous. Okay. So in a little bit later in our service, we've got a chance to engage with some of these issues as we go to our reflection zones, to perhaps reflect on those scriptures. So we read from Deuteronomy, where we see that God's heart is for the stranger, for the outcast, for the refugee, for those that are marginalised in society. And we heard from the Gospel, didn't we, from Matthew, and the words of Jesus reported in that Gospel about how when we welcome the stranger, when we welcome the refugee, when we welcome the foreigner, we welcome Christ himself. And conversely, if we don't, we turn Christ away. Rather powerful, challenging words, don't you think? So we've got a chance to engage with all of that a little bit later on. Thank you.